About 15 years ago, I was attending Bible school in Fergus Falls, Minnesota, and a part of our curriculum for our schooling was to participate in a three-week-long mission trip. The trip was actually three trips. We spent 1 week at three different churches. And in one of the churches that we were part of, it was in Minot, North Dakota, we got to do a number of different types of ministry during the course of the week. And during the course of the week, we got to stay at a host home. Well, the last day that I was at the host home, we were preparing to get ready to leave, and we were saying goodbye to our host parents who had taken care of us for the week. And as I was getting ready to leave, getting ready to walk out the door, I noticed as I was walking out the door that there was a sign above the door to the front yard. The sign said, "You are now entering the mission field." And I thought about that sign. I thought, wow, this is great. Me, I'm on a mission trip. It's reminding me that I'm going out into the mission field. But then I thought about the sign just a little bit more. I thought, you know what? That sign is true for every believer. For every believer who walked out that door and walked into the world, that sign was true, that they were entering the mission field. It struck me and it caused me to see that I was a missionary, regardless if I was on a mission trip or not. And this morning, I think the encouragement for us is that we get to see that we are all missionaries. So being a missionary might seem like it's an awkward thing for you to think about for yourself, but it is just what God has called us to see ourselves as. I believe this morning's message, it's either going to challenge you to continue to share the gospel, or it's going to challenge you to consider starting to share the gospel with others. If either of those outcomes happen, that's an awesome thing. We're going to start this morning, we're going to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 22 to 27. Paul writes, "To the weak I became weak to win the weak. I have become all things to all men so that by all possible means I might save some. I do this for the sake of the gospel, that I might share in its blessings. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the game goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will last, not last. But we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body and I make it a slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize." Those are words authored by Paul and given to the first church in Corinth. Paul's ministry was one that went 110% for reaching others with the gospel. And he was so serious about doing the work of the gospel that if there was anything that would hinder him from being effective, he would remove it from his mode of operation. Paul was ready to accept serious limits to his own liberty for the sake of others. And this is the type of commitment that we're called to have to the gospel as well. Paul was willing to do anything to win others for Christ. And one of the unique things that Paul shares with the church in Corinth is the phrase, "I have become all things to all men." What Paul was really saying was that if he had to conform to the cultural standards of that day so to not offend, that would be just what he would do. In the last 15 years, I've participated in about 10 mission trips to Mexico. And on every trip, we wind up having the same thing happen. On every trip, we tell our participants that they have to conform to the expectations of the church leaders that we're going to be sharing our ministry with. We tell them that so that we won't offend anyone there. Well, usually, there's some confused people who just don't get it right away. They don't get why there's a standard that we have to wear long pants, collared shirts, how the women have to wear dresses, despite the fact that it's like 110 degrees. They don't get it. They don't get that that's what the leaders of the church in Mexico often expect for visiting missionaries. But then we go back and we share a verse just like what Paul just wrote, and it usually changes the attitude because people see that they have to give up the things that matter to themselves for the sake of the gospel. And Paul was willing to do anything to reach the lost. The thing that we have to consider is that our passion? Are we willing to do anything to win the lost? Our charge as a church is to see that each one of us is called to be a missionary in whatever context we find ourselves. And we all have a place inside God's church, inside God's kingdom, to be a witness to reach the lost for Christ. 1 Peter 4:10 says, "Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms." That's the encouragement and that's the challenge to us this morning. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I pray this morning that our hearts would be softened to hear from your word, that our hearts would be concerned with those who don't know you, that we would have a passion to reach the lost, a passion to share the gospel that you've given to us with one another. I pray that you would impart that on our hearts, that you would burn that desire into each one of us. I pray that your word would change us and would cause us to be the people you want us to be. Amen. There's a lot of misconceptions, I believe, about what a missionary looks like. When I was a kid, I remember going to Sunday night services at my home church. And every now and then, we'd have a visiting missionary come through. I remember the missionaries, they would show pictures. They would show like these huts, and they would show their villages, and they would show all the natives. That was kind of my perception of what a missionary looked like. I remember once a missionary told a story about how they had been out in the fields and how the natives had surrounded them and how the natives were hostile. Maybe you've heard a story like this. And how all of a sudden the natives, when they were ready to kill them, they had spears up, how the natives just all surrendered and fell to the ground. And when asked why they did such as that, they said it was because of the angels that were hovering above the missionaries. Well, maybe you've heard a story about missionaries just like that. That was what I thought missionaries looked like. But as I've grown up, I've seen that missionaries look in a lot of sort of other different sort of ways. I've got a friend by the name of Justin Bold. You might have read his story in Faith and Fellowship, which is put out by the Church of Lutheran Brethren. It's a story of a young man in Alaska who's working with the people of Alaska to reach those who are typically unreached. I have another friend who I went to Bethel Seminary with. He and his wife, they lived for the longest time in the suburbs. They lived in a very comfortable area. But they saw that in the city of Minneapolis, that churches had abandoned the city. So he and his wife and their family, they packed up from the suburbs and they moved back into the city, into the area that they saw was the most abandoned by the church, because they wanted to be the church for the people in the city. Think about the missionaries that we as a church support. We've got the Dresslers in India doing some amazing work. We've got the Spurlicks at the State College working with college students, reaching them for Christ, doing, again, amazing work. And right now, as I look out into the sanctuary, I see more missionaries. I see a group of people here who is called to be about the work of Christ's kingdom. I think it's great that this church has made a commitment to missions. But our commitment shouldn't just stop at how we give money to support missionaries. That's an important thing that we get to do. But that doesn't get us off the hook. That doesn't relieve us of the call to share the gospel. We support our missionaries because we love them, because we care for them, because they're our brothers and sisters in Christ. And at the same time, each one of us gets to be missionaries as well. And that might mean that we never have to move from where we are. That might mean that we get to do our mission work just exactly where we are right now. Often, we don't have to go anywhere to be missionaries. The mission field will come to us. Our synodical headquarters, I mentioned it, it's in Fergus Falls, Minnesota. It's a town very much like the town of Mifflintown. For a number of years, there's been a number of people in Fergus Falls, Minnesota that have been praying that God would open up new mission fields to the Church of the Lutheran Brethren. Currently, most of our missionaries are in Africa or in Asia. Well, they've been praying, you know, would South America, would Mexico, would some other place in Africa be the next place that God would be calling us? Well, at the same time that they prayed that prayer, God answered them, I believe, but in a way other than what they expected. There's a university in China that was looking for a campus to have abroad in America. And they purchased an abandoned building in Fergus Falls, Minnesota. And right now, 1,000 Chinese students are moving to Fergus Falls, Minnesota to get an American education. Those people that prayed that prayer that God would open to them a new mission field, that's one way that God is opening up a new mission field to them. Because now there'll be 1,000 Chinese students running around this small Midwestern town. Hopefully, those believers who pray that prayer, hopefully they will see them as their mission field. God's will is that all would be saved, yet we know that many are lost. And from the onset of the fall, we know that God's heart has been to rescue those who don't know Him. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, God promised one who would come, a Messiah. He said, He will crush your head and He will strike His heel. It's a promise of Jesus. Now, I hope that we all know the truth, and that the truth is that Jesus came to rescue us from our sins. But that truth that we cling to, that we put our hope in, that truth was never meant for us to keep it to ourselves. And I think we know that. I think we know that we're supposed to share the gospel, that we're supposed to be about the business of witnessing to the lost. But I think many times we come up with reasons for why we shouldn't share the gospel. We say things like, you know what? Somebody else is going to do it. I don't need to do it. Or sometimes we say something like, you know what? I think eventually that person that needs to know Christ, eventually they're going to figure it out on their own. Or we say things to get us off the hook like, well, I'm praying for them. Isn't that good enough? Or we say something like, well, they already have a friend that's sharing with them Christ. Why should I add to that? They already have somebody that's doing that. Or we say something like, you know what? We're really not that close after all. That's not really who I'm supposed to be reaching out to. Think about all the different reasons that we come up with for why we shouldn't share the gospel with somebody else. I think we say things like that because maybe we're scared, or because we have a poor self-confidence in our own ability to share the gospel, or maybe because we're not exactly sure exactly how to explain the gospel. Or maybe it's because we're not convinced that it's our job to share the gospel. Know this, if you've ever felt any of those emotions, or you've ever thought any of those reasons for not sharing the gospel, know that you're not alone. I can totally get those emotions. The encouragement, though, for us from God's Word is to do that, is to share the good news. While I was at seminary, I took a class on evangelism. And one of our assignments was to share our faith with a stranger. And that was a difficult thing for me to think about doing. I had no problem sharing my faith with somebody that I knew or talking to just somebody that I was close to. But to share it with a stranger was something new for me to think about. I remember the deadline for the assignment was coming, and I was thinking, how am I going to get this done? Well, there was a Sunday morning, I was driving to church, and I stopped at a gas station to buy some donuts for my Sunday school class. And I walked into the gas station early in the morning, and I bought my donuts, and I went up to the counter to pay for my donuts. And the sales clerk, you know, kind of made some sort of like joke about why I was so dressed up so early on a Sunday morning. And that little joke that they told created an opportunity for me to tell them, yeah, I'm going to church right now. And in the process of telling them about the fact that I was going to church, I saw that they were curious to hear more about it. And our conversation went on and on. And I got to share with them the things of who Christ is. I got to share with them why being involved in a church is important. And I told them, and I went and I did it. I told them that I would bring them some information about the church. I gave them my phone number. I encouraged them to come whenever they could come. And I told them that I'd be praying for them. And they welcomed all of those invitations. I got to church that Sunday morning, just a little bit after that. And I had been like dreading the thought of probably doing that. But after I had had that conversation, I was so excited for what had just happened. And it changed my attitude towards that challenge. I think one of the things that we need to realize is that getting past that first step, that first part of the conversation, is probably the hardest thing that we'll have to do. So the encouragement to all of us is just to get past that first step, to take that first step, to start to talk to somebody about the things of God. The church is to be a light to a dark world. Romans 10:14 says, "How can they call on the one that they have not believed in? How can they believe in the one that they have not heard? How can they hear with somebody not preaching to them?" The challenge for us is to know this, that the world will not know who Jesus is if we don't tell them. Luke 10:2 says, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few." And 2 Corinthians 5:20 says, "We, all of us, are therefore Christ's ambassador, as though God were making his appeal through us." There's a great story in the book of Luke, Luke chapter 5, verse 17 to 26, about a group of friends who want their best for their friend. You remember it as the story of the paralytic man. Let's look at that story right now and connect this to what we're talking about. One day as he was teaching, Pharisees and teachers of the law who had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem were sitting there. And the power of the Lord was present for him to heal the sick. Some men came carrying a paralytic on a mat, and they tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. When they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and lowered him on his mat through the tiles of the middle of the crowd, right in front of Jesus. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." The Pharisees and the teachers of the law began thinking to themselves, "Who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" And Jesus knew what they were thinking and asked, "Why are you thinking these things in your heart? Which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up and walk'? But that you may know the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." He said to the paralyzed man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." Immediately he stood up in front of them, took what he had been, and went on his way home praising God. Everyone was amazed and praised God. They were filled with awe and said, "We have seen remarkable things today." A little context about this passage, about this story. We find Jesus in a house teaching. And we find that this house is packed with people. And at that same time, there's this group of friends who wants to help their friend. So they take their friend to see Jesus. Now, they don't just stumble upon the house and happen to find Jesus. They knew that Jesus was there. And when they bring their friend to see Jesus, it was a mission that they were on. They knew everything about Jesus. They knew that Jesus had a reputation for being one who could bring healing. They were looking for a way to get into the house, and they set before Jesus. And when they couldn't find a way in the house because of the crowd, they went up on the roof. What I love about these guys is their creativity. They didn't allow a crowd to stop them from coming to Jesus. Maybe you have some friends like this, some friends that you know, they will go at great lengths to do whatever it takes to help you. Well, all of a sudden, these guys that are taking their friend, they hit a dead end. And then one guy says, "This dead end is not going to be the end of the story." They say, "Let's get him up on the roof. You go stand on that fence over there." They say to the other guy, "You go stand on the camel over there, and I'll stand underneath, and we'll figure out how to get this guy on the roof." I love these friends. They go so out of their way to make it possible for their friend to see Jesus. I think there's some things that we can learn from these friends as we think about taking the gospel forward. The first is that they identified the roadblocks that were in front of them, and they didn't let the roadblocks stop them. They find that the house is full. They find that there's no way in through the front door. So they push on. They take their friend up and over the roof. Secondly, they made sure that they had no excuse why this didn't happen. We come up with a lot of excuses and a lot of reasons, but the challenge for us is to get rid of our excuses. Once you identify your excuses, be encouraged to get rid of them. These guys didn't have an excuse. They saw that the place was crowded, and then they take their friend up on the roof. The truth is, if we keep making excuses for why it's not the right time to share the gospel, we will really be keeping people from knowing God. Third thing that I think we can learn from these friends is this. It's to be bold. These friends were so bold for their friend. I think we all need some boldness as we go and share the gospel. I like these friends. These are the type of friends that I would want to have. They would do anything to get their friend into the presence of Jesus. And that's exactly what we're called to do with one another. There's a lot of books and classes out there that teach all sorts of techniques and ways to evangelize people. I like a lot of them, but we need to recognize that no technique is foolproof. I think there's some good advice that we can be given about how it is to share our faith. And it's more advice not just about how to share our faith, it's advice that's helpful for us in our walk with God. The first piece of advice is this. It's to know the truth. We should be encouraged to know the truth because knowing what you believe and how it compares with what others believe, that will be an important way how we talk to one another about the things of faith. That's why we as our church, we emphasize Sunday school and all sorts of ways for people to get educated. There's many out there who teach things so far from what's true, who teach things that are false. And it's our job, our task, to teach what is true and to correct those who don't know what's true. Here's the second piece of advice. It's the encouragement to pursue authentic Christianity. That is, a Christianity that impacts every area of our life. A Christianity that's part of an ongoing journey of faith. We talked last Sunday how some choose not to attend church because all they think that they've ever seen inside the church is hypocrisy. The challenge to us is to live our lives as lights to Christ, lights of Christ. If we claim Christ but live a life that is so contrary to the things of God, then we've really muddied the water when it comes to sharing our faith. So let's be encouraged to live lives that give glory to God. Here's the third piece of advice. know that there's no perfect witness. We are all imperfect representatives of God. I don't have too many regrets in life, but one of my regrets that I have comes from a time in high school. When I was in high school, I dropped the ball when it came to a couple friends that I had invited to church. I brought these two friends of mine that I had met at school to youth group one night. And at that period of my life, I was the type of kid that needed the approval of others. I needed others to tell me that I had value. I didn't see it in myself. So the night that I brought these two friends from school to the youth group, some of my other friends who I always saw at church, they kind of questioned why I brought these two friends with me to church. They're like, "You're really friends with them?" Well, their questions and their things that they said, they made me kind of feel like maybe I shouldn't bring these friends to church. After that night, I never brought those two friends back. That's one of the regrets that I have. 7 months later, though, I was caught off guard. One of the guys that I had brought with me came to me and said, "How come? How come you never asked me to come back? I really had a good time." I didn't really have a good answer. As I look back now, though, I wish that I could do that differently. But the thing is, I know I can't. I can't go back and change things. I can't fix how I did things wrong back then. What I do know is this, is that we can go forward doing things differently. And that's the call that we're looking at today. The call from here on out, being committed to sharing the gospel. This morning, I want to challenge all of us to think about living this out. This morning, I want to throw a challenge out to you. I want to encourage each one of us to make it a priority to share our faith with one another. This morning, in your bulletins, there's some notes for taking some things to help you with the sermon. There's a list of five blanks there. What I'd encourage you to do is to write the names of five friends down that you would like to see won for Christ. Then after you write those names down, I'd encourage you in your own prayer time to make it a priority to pray for them, to pray that hearts would be softened, to pray that they would be receptive to the gospel, to pray that you'd be given opportunities to share faith with them. And after you've prayed that prayer and you've made that a regular habit, I'd encourage you to look for ways, look for opportunities to share your faith with them. This morning, as provided in your bulletin, I want to mention five ways that you can share your faith. The first is probably the easiest and the last is probably the hardest. But I'll share these five ways. The first way that I'll throw out for you is this. Tell your friend you're a Christian. We live in a country that widely accepts Christianity, that claims to be a Christian country. So in a country like that, it should be fairly easy for us just to tell somebody, "I'm a Christian." That's it. That's the first way I'll throw out for you. Secondly, I'll encourage you to invite your friend to something as a part of our church. Figure out what the best place is for them to be a part of. If it's a Bible study, or if it's a church, Sunday morning, or if it's a dinner or something. Figure out what the best place is for you to invite them. Here's a third way I'll throw out. Tell your friend why you're a Christian. Share with them why you need a Savior. Share with them. And then the fourth way, turning it up a notch. Tell your friend how you became a Christian. Tell your friend how Christ has impacted your life. And then the last way that I'll encourage you, ask your friend if they would like to be a Christian. You could say something like, "Would you like to know what will last for forever?" Or you could say, "Who do you think Jesus is?" Or you could say, "May I share with you what God has done for me?" What I'd really love to hear, that you're taking this challenge seriously. And next week, during our prayer and praise time, I'd love if everybody would be able to come back with a story of how they tried to live this challenge out. I'd love it if people would share next Sunday morning during the prayer and praise time how they tried to witness to somebody this week. Think back on your own life. Was there somebody who was extremely important to you in leading you to Christ? Maybe you can recall how you were led to Christ. Think of a person who made a significant impact in your life and know that you can be that very same thing for somebody else. Know also this, if you've been witnessing to somebody for years and years and years, maybe it's a family member, maybe for years, maybe for decades, they just have showed no interest in knowing what you have to offer to them. Know that you haven't failed them. Your job isn't to save them. Your job is to plant the seeds. Your job is to share what Christ has done for you. Be encouraged. Be encouraged also to know that there have been many, many, many families who have for decades witnessed to family members and for decades have seen nothing happen. And then all of a sudden, somebody turns their heart to Christ. Be encouraged in that as well. Remember Paul's words to the church in Corinth. He challenged them. He said, "To the weak I became weak to win the weak. I have become all things to all men so that by all possible means I might save some. I do this all for the sake of the gospel that I may share in its blessings." That was Paul's encouragement to the church. It's also the challenge for us to think about. We can't afford to be a church named Good News and not be actively proclaiming that very thing. That's the challenge that's been given to us. This morning, go here reminded that you are God's missionary to this world.